Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI and a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan. Service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Poppin', everybody. Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
My name is Jay Carlin and I'm the other host.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I want to say I covered that.
You want to say you covered that?
Yeah, I think we've been there, done that.
Okay, well.
Yeah. People know who you are.
Yeah.
You've come up before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm here. Most of the time.
Every single time. You're actually the only one of the two of us that can say that.
That's true. Because you were sick one time and I had to record an intro by myself one time.
What an interesting segue, because we are getting ready to... as of hearing this, I believe we will have toured.
Oh, yeah. You're right. I think we will have completed the Through the Griffin tour.
Yes. Oh, man. How much fun. Can you believe what happened in Atlanta?
Oh, did you see that whale shark?
Oh, we probably will see a whale shark.
I know.
Over the aquarium. It's so much fun.
Exactly.
Plus, we saw the magic totally whoop up on the
Charlotte Hornets.
Yeah, of course. That's definitely what happened. So many good times we're had. These are all things that we're expecting to do on tour. However, it has not happened yet. And the reason that you're hearing our voices and the way that we are speaking them right now, I'm doing a bad job setting this up. Do you want to take over?
Well, as the other host, I think it's in my wheelhouse.
You feel qualified.
All right. Okay. So this week, while we were preparing for tour, it turns out we did a bad job of putting 1 week in between our Disney trip and going on tour.
Yeah, we did. We did a bad job.
It was a lot of stuff. However, so what we're going to do for this week is we thought we would take some of our After the Final Pop episodes, like the episodes that we record exclusively for Patreon.
Yes,
like the little after show. Usually Ben and I just talk for another 20 minutes about something we didn't get to on that week's episode of the pop.
We picked a few good ones for you guys.
Yeah. So we went back. We picked some of our favorite ones there. We have like over 100 of these. If you want to sign up for Patreon, there's a huge backlog of After the Final Pops you can check out. But we went back through, handpicked a few of our favorite After the Final Pops, and we're just going to give you guys a good preview of like what's out there. So if you're a patron, you might have already heard these. And if you're not, then enjoy. This is just, you know, new content for you.
Yeah. It should be a lot of fun. And honestly, you know, I am going through such a fun experience right now where I am like watching my first ever YouTuber like proper.
How is that possible?
I don't know how it's possible, Jay, but it is. It's my life.
I mean, and it's the Outdoor Boys.
It's the Outdoor Boys YouTube
outdoor
channel.
Outdoor Boys, dude. I've watched some of it and I see the appeal. It's like well done, but not like, it doesn't look like, you know, this was some crazy professional editor. It looks like, yeah, guy who learned how to edit, but also does outdoor stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. There's like a quaint charm.
There is an absolute charm to it. When he digs out the snow for, I mean, I think there's a few videos where he digs snow forts, but
yeah,
I watched one of them and I was just like, this is so cool. Like, I love watching how you put it together and stuff.
I mean, whenever I was a kid, I feel like whenever it snowed, number one objective was to go and like create like a fort. To go and be in the snow.
I mean, I remember several occasions where, yes, that was what we spent the day doing.
Yes. I mean, we'd just be out there like hucking huge like walls of snow. And we never had enough snow that you could like dig into it and then do something fun with like the cavern.
Yeah.
You had to like make the cavern. You had to push all the snow from elsewhere into a big pile.
Yeah.
But anyway, the reason I'm bringing it up is because just this past weekend, we had been going through like his back catalog of videos, and we haven't watched them all or anything, but we watched a lot of the more recent ones. And I had the first occasion where I had like a subscription notification go off for like a channel where it was like, I couldn't wait for the next piece of content to come out. And I was like, Allie, there's a new Outdoor Boys.
There's a new one. That's so funny. I mean, it's so funny that you're just like, this many years into your own YouTube career, experiencing this with a different creator.
Yes, it's so much fun. Yeah. I mean, me and Allie keep talking about how much we would geek out if we ever like, you know, met him IRL.
Yeah.
hi, are you Luke from the Outdoor Boys YouTube channel?
Oh my gosh, like, that's so funny.
It's so much fun. It's so much fun. But the reason I bring it up is because we have After the Final Pop. So like if you've been like binge listening to the pop and you're sort of like, man, I wish I had more. There's more.
If you've only listened to the main show, if you get on the Patreon, you have a whole new library of stuff to binge.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. So we won't continue to babble on any further because we will continue to do so from the past into your ear holes.
I know. They told us to come in here and introduce the concept, and now I was like, well, we'll see how it goes. Yeah. We'll see how it goes.
We've talked for a little bit too long.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now enjoy us talking more.
Yeah.
Bye.
Papa.
Hello and welcome, everybody, to After the Final Pop, where, as always, we have to thank you so much for your support over here on Patreon.
Yeah, guys, first of all, let me just say, I had some oatmeal raisin cookies this weekend.
Why?
Yeah. Okay, so I'm just bringing this up because last week it seemed like it was, you know, a huge topic of conversation.
It was pretty big.
And there's raisins.
There's a really cool animation that
there was.
Editor the Isabel.
Yeah.
Isabel the editor, rather.
Animator the Isabel. Yeah.
Yeah, she made.
I did. It was super funny. And so this past weekend, though, I was at a party and there was just a big plate of cookies. And there was a situation where it was like, it was a little bit confusing because like it looked like they were all oatmeal raisin cookies. But then some of them, in fact, were just oatmeal raisin cookies.
Okay.
But then mixed in were also some of like similar, there were just regular chocolate chip cookies mixed in. And those were easy to tell the difference between. Like, these are chocolate chip cookies, these are oatmeal raisin cookies. But then also mixed in were like oatmeal raisin chocolate chip macadamia nut cookies.
Okay.
And so those were a little bit harder to tell because they looked like the oatmeal raisin cookies. And then you picked it up and you'd be like, wait, is this chocolate in here? Like, what's going on? Like, And what I found, startlingly, was that the mixing of the chocolate and the raisins inside of the oatmeal cookie together,
yeah,
not as good. Like,
oh, so if you include chocolate chips and raisins in an oatmeal raisin cookie, it makes it worse?
I would say it makes it worse.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so like the oatmeal raisin cookies were very good on their own. The chocolate chip cookies were very good on their own. But this like middle ground like stuff, it was like, this is leaving something to be desired. So it's like, you gotta, I think when it comes to these particular cookies, it's like, stay in your lane. Like, do what you do best. Like, no one's trying to get married over here, you know? Like,
so do you, okay, at this party, were these cookies as options labeled, or are they on the same plate?
All on the same plate together, mixing and mingling like they belong together, like in a coexisting kind of cookie world.
What?
You know? I know. I about upended the table.
I mean, I expect so. I'm surprised you didn't come into work this morning and say, like, well, I am not welcome back somewhere.
I'm not welcome back somewhere. But you know what? I died on that hill. I corrected an injustice.
Let me ask you a question then. Do you think that this is utter blasphemy, obviously.
Obviously,
goes without saying.
Yeah.
Do you think that this is something that somebody should have given greater contemplation and provided the necessary markering of what type of cookies you could be endeavoring into?
You know, if it had just been the two different kinds without some sort of weird mixed confused cookie in there, then
like, in my mind, I feel like if you're gonna have like chocolate flavored cookies, like double chocolate chip cookies, and then like the dough is chocolate as well as like the chips are being chocolate, and you can like very clearly discern like, oh, this is like a chocolate version, and then this is like your regular chocolate chip version. Like, that's the type of thing where it's like, just at a glance, it's very easy to tell, like, okay, I know exactly what I'm getting with each of these types of cookies.
Right.
You know, it's like they're noticeably different in ways that are highly identifiable.
Yeah.
I feel like what this is doing is it's the mixing of cookie options that are far too similar to one another.
Yeah.
And therefore, it can be all of a sudden and unexpectedly disappointing.
Yeah. I mean, it's setting people up for disappointment. You know, you think you're grabbing one kind of cookie, you bite in, it's not that. Unacceptable.
Unacceptable.
Yeah.
So do you think that the host of this party had maybe entered, let's say, a flow state was like, I'm whipping up cookies, I'm making stuff left and
I don't
right.
think they were homemade.
Oh, they weren't homemade?
I don't think they were homemade.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Another aspect of it, but
at
least not that I was, I don't think they were because they tasted like cookies I've had before.
Okay.
Like they were, Which there is, and whatever it was, like the oatmeal raisin ones are really good. I went back for several.
But, oh, you went back for several.
Yeah.
Wow. Just dangling that right in front of me, aren't you?
You're like, yeah. Sometimes you get like, you're in these conversations, you know, they're sort of like standing next to the table, and it's like you run out of thing to hold, and you're like, I need, you know, sometimes there might be a dull point in the conversation where I need to like take a bite of food or a sip of drink or something. And it's like, I ran out of things. So, well, I guess I'll just have another cookie.
Okay. Well, honestly, your version of it is a lot healthier than my version of it, which is usually especially if I'm like hosting a party or something, it's like, you like to have like your prop drink. So I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah,
I'm all for like having like something to like hold, because then like oftentimes you're having exactly what we described in today's episode. These conversations that are sort of like light in substance overall. And so you're just sort of like catching up on like the whatevers.
Yeah,
so
the whatevers.
You don't always have like strong feelings or opinions or thoughts, or like given something like a deep contemplation to where you're like, see, now it's so interesting that you said that. Let me delve into that more and explain further. You know, like a lot of times it's more like, how's work?
Yeah, it's definitely more like that. Yeah. What's new with you?
It's like, well, I got a promotion. Oh, that's cool. What do you do now?
Cool.
And what did you do before?
I had such fun. Maybe I can't even say it. Never mind. I'll just pass over that. That's fine.
Wow. We're just I know. Swing and a miss.
It'd be a great. It is fun information. I just can't tell you about it yet.
Oh.
You listener, but Ben already knows. When people are asking me like, "What's new at work?" I had a very fun answer. You know. But
yes. Okay, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. It will be fun. It will be very exciting. Yeah. So, anyway, on the horizon. So no, now I'm curious though. So like, because this is the type of thing we're in today's episode, and I could tell that you were sort of like, Ben is so deep inside of his own freaking brain weeds right now, and it's just like, it's like sometimes I think I can sense you being like, I wish you would stop doing this because it would just make you happier and you would feel better about it.
Mm-hmm.
And like I can see the seething
right.
coming
you're
out
like
of
putting
you.
Words in my mouth. Sure, cool. Yeah, that sounds like something you need to examine.
okay. That being said, no. So going into today's episode, I was talking a lot about like my very deliberate and probably excessive amounts of introspection.
Yeah.
And how do you feel about that?
I think it sometimes gets in your own way, for sure.
Is that not what I just said?
Yeah. What?
Isn't that what I just said? And then you said I was putting your words in your mouth.
What?
No.
No, those are different things.
Oh, different things. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, that sounds good. At least that means the table will be available.
Sure.
For review. So anyway, but no, so I think sometimes it's interesting because like I feel like a lot of times I'm coming at it from like a very vulnerable standpoint where it's sort of like, this is not necessarily something that I particularly like love that I do. And, but like also sort of can't help it.
You sure.
know? It's like, it's like a, like it is definitely the older I get and the more that, I don't know, like individual, like little like twinges in life happen combining with like the rest of like my brain soup or whatever. There's almost nothing I can do about the fact that like I kind of like revisit ideas. I revisit like approaches that I had to things, like trying to understand like the underlying meaning, like motivations behind like all my various like ins, outs or whatevers. I tend to feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you're typically like on the other end of this spectrum where you're like, I'm not really like second guessing or questioning these types of things.
Not typically. No, I don't spend a lot of time on like a huge amount of introspection, which is not to say like never.
Sure.
But it's certainly, I don't think like you would mistake that as like a core piece of my personality.
Sure. So
there's no introspection island or something in my brain.
Oh yeah, there is in mine.
Right. Yeah.
There must be. Well, or like maybe it's some like weird like, you know, like diesel engine that has like a whole bunch of like smoke billowing out of it because it's like we need like an oil change or something. It's like I've been going for way too long over here, bro. No, but my curiosity was, I was thinking about the plate of cookies and I was like, man, what a like to deliver a party a plate of cookies, some of which are gonna have raisins in them without even warning people of the potential for raisins.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, man, that seems like a risky maneuver. One that you may even be like, man, they probably should have second thought that. They should have maybe gone back and been like, you know, I probably should have put like little signs up. You know, oatmeal raisin cookies, chocolate chip cookies. Pick at your own risk.
At your own risk, yeah.
but there's also, because I feel like especially at a party where you've got like communal offerings like this, it's like it's unacceptable to pick something up and then put it back down.
Well, for sure. And like, I mean, for just the sake of clarity, like the reason I'm bringing this up is because we talked about it last time and I thought it would be a funny thing to talk about, not because I'm truly bothered by it at all.
Yeah, no, I got you. That, which is mostly why I was trying to use it as an example for reflective contemplation.
Sure.
Mostly.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, no, the the raising conversation was really funny because I feel like it spurred off in like a million different directions. Then everybody I was talking to over like the weekend was like, so raisins, huh?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, we got to talk about this.
I know.
What's
yeah.
up with the raisins?
Yeah, it's a hot button fruit
it's a hot,
product.
It's a hot button fruit product.
It's a divisive food is what I've learned.
It is. In, yeah. in like a strange way. Like, because I do feel like there could be people who see raisins as like the ultimate treat.
Certainly someone is like restocking the raisins in their house frequently because of the rate at which they consume them, you know, like, or I mean, I know kids eat raisins a lot.
Sure.
For whatever reason, we decide this is a kid's snack.
I know. I feel like it's because they're like reasonably nutritious, maybe, yeah. but then they can also be packaged in like with like some longevity.
Yeah, that's
easily,
true.
Like, tucked into like a little like lunch.
Right. Yeah. They're reasonably good for you and like still maybe are like a sweet treat for your kid.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that's it.
That's probably it. And then like as like this is like always like the funny thing I think is that like as parents, it's like you want to make sure that your kids are getting like proper nutrition, and then meanwhile you're like, I'm gonna go through get some like fast food today.
Yeah. Right. <It's> like, yeah. There is like yes, it is like that like you know we all know that I'm trying to drink a smoothie every morning.
A smoothie a day in the month of February.
In the month of 2024.
Nice.
Which is going mostly pretty good, but there are definitely days where it's just like, oh no, I overslept, or you know, I had the kids needed too many requests this morning and I've just been stretched too thin, and now I got to get Luke in the car and get out the door, and there's just not time to make a smoothie in the next like 2 minutes because it's a bit of a process, you know, getting all the stuff out and things. And it's like there will be the days where it's just like, well, I've had zero food yet so far, starving. And usually this like it all normally the act of not having food coincides with it having been a stressful morning, because if it wasn't stressful, like the reason I didn't have food is because everything was stressful because there were so many things to do.
Sure.
You know, so those two things usually coincide with each other. And it's like then I'm like feeling like extra stressed and like anxious, and I haven't eaten food, and like those are the days where it's like I'm just going through Bojangles, you know. It's like
sure.
It's
yeah.
like yeah, you know what, you just undid like 10 smoothies, you know?
I know, yeah, like what that's the thing that is like always, it feels like a bit like a great like Black Mirror episode, except like maybe less technology centered.
Yeah.
But if it was just literally like, you know, like there's like the classic like apple a day keeps a doctor away type situation where yeah. it's just like, you know, you wake up, you eat fruit for breakfast, and you get like little like green dings over your head being like, hey, good job, you ate
good
something
job.
healthy.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you go and you drive through on the way to work and you're like, man, because I ate fruit for breakfast, now I'm starving, so I'm gonna get a biscuit.
Yeah.
And then it's like a giant like minus 50 and you're like, oh
man.
It's like I think about that and I'm like, I don't know what would happen as I got like through each of my days.
Yeah.
But sometimes I feel like it would be so interesting. Like, how much do you think it would change your behaviors if something like this was happening and you had like a little, like, if it was just, it wasn't published anywhere, it's just for your own knowledge. But as you like went through your day, like you're having like these like little, like, hey, that was a good decision. That was a bad decision. Hey, this was a good decision. This was a medium decision. Like,
yeah. I mean, it'd be, what's interesting about that to me is like, who was deciding what counts as a good and bad decision?
I know. You know? But so often, like, that is like what that's like what I want someone to reassure me of most, like more than anything else, is to like look at all the parameters of my life and be like, dude, you're doing good. Like, it's like this over here, doing great. This over here, doing
right.
great.
Like, you're unwilling to make that assertion about yourself.
Right. Yeah. It's like, I think I've just been wrong too many times.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I've like felt confident that like I was doing enough.
Like,
and
then,
when? I don't know. I mean, it's hard to go like a specific deep moment, but things stick with me a lot, and so like I think a lot of times when we go back to that example like all the time of like feeling cool in high school where, you know,
yeah,
you knew like outfit on or whatever, and it flies down and you're like, oh my gosh, this is so embarrassing. It's like I think like that is like at the core so often, is like the more confident I feel about something, almost certainly the likelihood that I am like turning a blind eye to some other important facet of all of it is almost like lurking around every corner. And I feel like it's happened too many times where it's like the more and more and more good I feel about something, the more people have like led me to believe that like that's like not like a safe mental position to be in.
Uh-huh.
You know, so it's yeah. probably its own like little weird trauma inducing tightrope that you're just living life on.
Right. I guess so. That's like, it's one of those things where it's like, there are those moments where it's like, yeah, so I think I feel cool or whatever. And then you find out like, yeah, you've got your flies down or whatever. But it's like, I feel like those sort of things are like mere data points where it's like, yeah, and especially when it's like, if you're, it's almost like you're having to like experiment with like self-confidence sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's like,
that's
yeah,
a good point.
It's like, oh, I feel good. And it's like, but it's the same as anything else. Whereas like you haven't really had enough experience with it to like be good at being self-confident or something.
Sure.
You know? So it's like, you know, oh, you go in, it's like, oh, I felt, you know, I thought I felt so cool. I felt really great. And I let myself feel that way. And turns out, oh, I was mistaken. But it's like, you just, it's like, so, and that can like turn you away, but it's like, if you just keep doing it, like you'll be able to like, you know what, if you do the exact same thing the next week, like, let me just basically wear the same outfit. Maybe it's a different shirt of the same design, but it's like, now I just remember to double check the fly. And it's like, guess what? Now I actually, it's like, you can like get to the point where it's like, okay, I've done it enough that like now I can actually confidently do it.
Yeah. No, I do get what you're saying. Like, this is, again, there's like a little Name of the Wind reference you can make here where, when Quoth is going through, he's like learning to become sort of like an inventor in this like magical world or whatever. And in order to pass this like original test, he like makes modifications to like a particular lamp he's making.
Yeah.
And his teacher is sort of like, I don't approve of these modifications. Like, it seems like they would get into the wrong hands and therefore like not be a good thing.
Yeah.
And then like later on down the story, the teacher calls him in again. He's like, hey, why aren't you experimenting with anything new? Like, you're never doing, like, you're never pushing the boundaries. Like, this is not what we're looking for in a young inventor. And he's like, well, the last time I made a modification, you didn't exactly approve of it. And the teacher's like, what? So you're never going to get off the porch again?
Right.
Like,
yeah. You know, get it's one like, slap on the wrist. And,
right. Yeah. It's like, I didn't approve of that one. Not like all creative thinking ever.
Right. It's exactly like that.
Yeah. It is like that. And that's a good point. I think that's definitely like one of those things to like try to keep in mind. This is probably like one of those where my like fear, like, you know, like anytime somebody like brings something up or like corrects me or like, you know, points something out like this or whatever, my fear is that like I have just like sunk, like, you know, if I had climbed like one rung, it's almost like I just sunk like 50 in the process of like, it's like, well, now I'm way in the wrong direction. When like, if anything, you just learned something
right.
new. So like,
yeah,
we're giving the example of like you're flying me down or whatever, and like, you know, learning to double check your fly is like, you know, that's a pretty easy enough and small enough lesson to not really feel like is that important. But I would say that these are all examples of much more important topics where maybe you've like accidentally stepped in it before and been like, ooh, okay, I need it to be corrected there, which means I probably know nothing about this, which probably means I need to learn like a whole bunch of stuff so that like in the future I can like never step in it again.
Right.
You know, but that like then it becomes very overwhelming.
Right. Yes. Know? But it's all, yeah, I guess so. Yep. But it's like, sometimes, like, even if you, like, step in it, it's also not, like, the end of the world.
No, it's not. It's yeah. not. Yeah. But that's, yeah, it's trying to, it's probably putting way too much emphasis on attempting to steer clear of those moments. You know, it's like I think I personally put, like, way too much stock in, like, not wanting to have, like come across negatively to, uh-huh. like, to, like, anyone.
Right.
You know, and so it's like, if
but
it,
do
if
you?
It, do I what?
Do you ever come across negative?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, right.
On occasion, yeah. Like, there are instances.
Right. And you're okay.
This is true.
Yeah.
This is true. Yep, good point. So, there we go. We did it, everybody. Thank you guys so much, as always, for your support over here on Patreon. Until next time.
Bye!
Your old or broken phone can let you down, but at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence with a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. After all, you don't want your old phone to die on you when you're lost.
Perfect.
Or for your broken phone to glitch at the worst possible time.
Hey, can I get your number?
Oh. Trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad.
Hello and welcome, everybody, to After the Final Pop, where, as always, we want to thank you so much for your support over here on Patreon.
Yes, indeed. And we, as mentioned in the main episode, we've got our next quarterly merch item all sorted.
Yeah, the pop, pop, pop socket.
The pop, pop, pop socket.
Nailing it.
I know. I'm a little conflicted because my phone is like also
it's
my
wallet. Yeah.
And like, it, I don't think it really accommodates a pop socket very well, but like, I really want to use it.
I feel like you need to find like a new phone case that can still be a wallet that also has pop socket ability.
Tall order. Well, yeah, it might need to. Or maybe you can just put it on the back here, you know? Maybe it'll just stick right to the leather.
Let me see. Flip it around. Yeah, no, I don't see why not. What could possibly go wrong? Could you imagine if we talked like that all the time?
yeah, people would love it. It's like, indubitably.
People are like, that's it, I'm done. I'm not, nope, no that's longer. It. Thank you for giving that to my ears. I will never get it out again.
Exactly.
Anyway, so I noticed in the show notes for yeah. this week that you have a sentiment that I'm yeah. curious about. Mm-hmm. It is that the noted and iconic candy regarded as Pez,
P-E-Z,
is the snickerdoodle yeah. of candy.
It sure, yeah, Ben, it sure is.
Which I would like to say is high insult.
High insult to yeah. what?
Well, to Pez.
To Pez or to yeah. snickerdoodle?
No, to Pez, to Pez. Like, I think if you've listened to the show, snickerdoodle is one of those cookies that we, growing up, believed would be chocolate and caramel and peanut goodness,
yeah,
and instead is kind of like a plain cookie with like
a plain buttery cinnamon or something.
Yeah, like a buttery.
It's like you know what it says. No, we're not that. We're like a cinnamon butter cookie, emphasis on plain.
Yeah.
And so really when you it sounds really fun and it sounds like maybe it's going to be cinnamon, but actually it's pretty much plain.
It's pretty much plain.
Yeah.
So the thing about it, though, I think, is that, like, do you remember when we were kids, we fell in love with the glory that is the iced oatmeal cookie?
The iced oatmeal cookie, of course, Ben.
Yeah,
yes.
Iced oatmeals are incredible.
They're so good.
They are amazing. But, like, if somebody handed them to you and said, this is a box of packaged sunshine and rainbows, and you ate it, you might be disappointed. And I feel like that's what the snickerdoodle does.
It does, yeah. You know what? The other day, we had some kind of snickerdoodle cookie sent to us. It was like a frozen thing. And
you had this?
Yeah, it was like, I think it was from, like, I don't know what it was. It's like one of those, like, mail order baked goods.
Was
companies.
I there?
No.
No. Oh, okay. No. This was sent to your home.
This was sent to my home.
Okay, okay.
And Beth was like, oh, look at this. We can make this fun dessert thing. Like, how about everyone goes and does their homework, Luke, and then we will, by the time you're done, we'll have cookies ready.
Amazing.
Yeah, but they were snickerdoodle cookies.
Okay, snickerdoodle
yeah,
cookies.
So, and I will say that we got them out of the oven, and they were all, like, warm and gooey, and I would say it is probably the best snickerdoodle cookie I've ever had in my life.
Oh, okay, okay.
Which is yeah. also to say, still only okay.
So, but would you regard it as equal to Pez?
Well, here, okay. Let me make my comparison.
Yeah, please do
for you.
Please
okay,
because in the meantime, I feel like you're really taking Pez and you're putting it in a category that I'm not sure I'm prepared to agree.
Okay.
With.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing about Pez is that, like, Pez candy, certainly it tastes better than, like, you know, it at least delivers on a fun candy experience.
Okay, thank goodness. I was about to say.
I enjoy eating Pez candy. It is tasty. It is crunchy. It has a weird shape that feels like it adds to the crunch.
It does. It certainly does. It's like when you're a kid and you see, like, and this is horrible to say, maybe, hopefully not misleading or something, but, like, I feel like, pills, like, have, like, an aesthetic to them. Like,
right.
They seem like they could be great fun.
I know.
And yet, they're not.
They're not. This is why, that's why all, I mean, you're not wrong. This is why pills have, like, you know, child safety.
Yeah, yes,
you
of
know,
course.
Openings. It's like,
don't eat pills.
Yeah. But they, like, kind of look like candy.
They kind of do. But, like, I got, like, an ibuprofen or a Tylenol stuck the other day, like, where I went to, like, take a swig of water and it, like, glued itself to my tongue for some reason. And it's got, like, just a horrifically bitter, not so good taste. So when you eat the Pez candy, you're like, oh, well, now that right there.
That is good. Yeah.
It delivers.
I mean, it's otherwise just, like, you know, a regular sugary, like, sweet tart or something, but there is, like, a little bit of extra tang on the Pez that I like.
Okay.
Or, like,
okay.
There's, like, what, you know.
I'm
like,
craving,
like,
a, my mouth is watering.
I know.
About
I know. Maybe we'll go down to the candy store after this and just, like, load up. It'll be great. Yeah. But here's the thing. Here's my problem with Pez.
Okay.
Is that you're never, like, eating Pez candy just as Pez candy. It's not like someone's got a jar of Pez out and it's just the candy there,
but
right?
Could you imagine?
But, yeah, right? Like, it would feel illegal.
It is illegal.
You can't do that.
People would be doing it. I don't know what you're saying.
Exactly. You can't do that. That's not how you eat Pez candy. You eat Pez candy out of a Pez dispenser, right? And, like, when you have a fully loaded Pez dispenser and you've got some fun character and you pull that head back and it spits out a candy, it is like the best feeling. It's so good. You're like, oh my gosh, this is like childhood in my hand.
I said to myself, we always say Thomas Edison in the light bulb. Who invented the Pez?
Who invented the Pez, you know? And it's, but the problem is that, like, if you manage to get to the point where you have a fully loaded Pez dispenser with your Pez candy, and it, like, then you're good. And it's like the end product is good when it's there. The problem is, like, it is positioned in such a way that you wouldn't just put the Pez in a bowl. You have to put it in the Pez dispenser because that's part of the experience. And the act of getting the Pez in the dispenser is so difficult and so annoying that, like, it ruins so much of the glory of Pez, especially as an adult with kids. Because, like, when I was a kid, I was like, whenever I had a new Pez dispenser, you know, it would come with its three little stacks of Pez.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, this is going to be a great 30 pieces of candy.
But that's the thing, too. Like, I would say, like, I remember in, like, operations management, we learned about, it was just like a class I took in college, you learned about, like, the phrase, and I've talked about it on numerous occasions, the just noticeable difference. And the psychology behind the just noticeable difference is basically, like, if you were to take, like, a packet of M&Ms and there's, let's just say, an average of 40 M&Ms per pack.
Yeah.
You know, at some point in time, the M&M company might be like, guys, what would happen if we lowered it to, like, 37? It's like, people might not notice that their pack of candy featured fewer M&Ms than it did before.
Right. But, and, like, every million packages that went out, they just saved 3 million M&Ms.
Exactly. Yeah. Because now they're not like packing them in there, which means that that's like that much more that they're able to produce and that much more profit margin because nobody noticed. So they're still selling it for the same price. The thing about the Pez that I think is remarkable is that, like, I feel like they did this exact equation in reverse. Like, as a kid, there was never enough candy. But like the thing that always blew my mind about the Pez dispenser is that it always lasted just a little bit longer than I expected it to.
Okay. That's an interesting take. I would say it's interesting that they basically locked themselves into the size of a Pez because, like, for, you know, at this point, if you buy a Pez dispenser, it's designed so that when you open it up, like, it is the exact distance of the amount of Pez candy that comes in a single sleeve.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
Yep. Yep.
Yes. Agreed. Okay. And I always feel like they're gone really fast. Like, I'm never able to, like, ration out my Pez. As soon as I've got it, I'm, like, ready to go. You know, amazing.
Have another one.
I got to have another one. And they're gone. Gosh. Which is a bummer. But, like, the problem isn't even that. The problem is just getting them into the dispenser. And it's, like, because of the shape of the packaging of the candy itself, it looks like they have, like, tried to help you in this way. Like, it feels like there must be a way to open the package such that you can slide all 10 in at once in a fast, easy loading motion. And the fact is, there isn't. Like there's no way. I've tried it so many times. And every time I'm like, I must have just opened the package just a little bit wrong. Girl, like, I'll be rolling it out and, like, two little strips of paper will have been, like, left over. And it's like, they're kind of holding everything together now. And there's no way to get those little pieces off. Like, there's no, it, like, should you be able to, like, push the whole thing in the package in and then, like, pull it out in some way? Like, if there's a secret way to be loading the Pez, I don't know about it.
I know, you're right. It does feel like one of those, like viral videos where there is something about the packaging of Pez and people are like, no, we thought of this from the very beginning. You just pull the strip down and then you, like, lay it over top and then, like, pull it out and then, like, it auto.
And then it's done.
It auto loads a full cartridge all at once. Like, I feel like I remember.
Yes, back cartridge. In, like, good word.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I feel like back in the cartridge, not the cartridge, back in my TikTok days, I remember there was, like, a phase going around where people were like, did you guys realize we all put trash bags in backwards? And it was, like, one of those things, like, where we all pull the trash bag out, we, like, open it up, we go, like, ka-doom, 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 and then we, like, you know, drop the bottom into the trash bag or whatever. Yeah. And I feel like what people were saying is, like, it's like when you pull a trash bag out, it's like an inside out pillowcase. You know, it's like if you were to, like, all the stitching is always on the outside, and they're like, no, the stitching is supposed to, like, face in, so it would fit, like, with, like, the non, like, tapered bits or whatever.
Okay.
Do you follow what I'm saying?
I think.
So, like, if you could imagine, picture your pillowcase.
Yeah.
And then picture your pillowcase inside out.
Okay.
Okay. That is how we load our trash bags. And somewhere on TikTok, somebody was like, do you guys realize we're doing this like backwards? It's supposed to go the other way. And there's like a different way that you're supposed to like put the thing on there. And then it makes it so that like all the extra bits face in rather than out.
Oh, like you're supposed to like put it on and then shove it down, like out it.
Yep.
I see.
But well, you say inside out, but right side
out.
Yeah,
but right side out it, right.
But we all do it the wrong way. Supposedly. I don't even know.
Supposedly. Yeah, right. Yeah.
But like, it was like one of those things where it was like, I've literally never considered this before. Like it's, you know, and we had trash bags at the time that were like black on the inside and white on the outside. And I started doing it this way. And then they were black on the outside and white on the inside. And I was like, I still can't decide if that seems better. Maybe that's wrong.
Right.
Like, you know, but anyway, the point is that I feel like there are industrial design aspects to everyday products where nobody realizes that there's a very obvious way to do it. But
right.
The inventor somewhere along the way was like, no, we thought of that. Nobody just listens.
I know. Well, this is the thing. It's like, is there a way? Because you know what? I remember this exact thing for Pez where people would like put like the Pez thing and they'd hold it straight up and they'd like slam the whole dispenser on top of it and then open it and be like, look, it's there. And it was like, no, that's just a camera trick. That's not at all how Pez dispensers work.
Oh, okay.
Kind of thing. Yeah. I've seen this too for like Tic Tacs. Like you're supposed to like just hold it upside down and then open it and there's like a little slot and it's like, that'll give you one Tic Tac.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. So that's a better example than what I gave. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm always like, well, I guess so. But if you're holding it upside down, aren't more going to fall out when you open it like that. Like I don't know. No, I don't get Tic Tacs enough.
Talk about great product design though. I was a big orange Tic Tac.
Oh
fan.
Yeah, for yeah. sure. I mean, I was at the checkout. I feel like I've tried to discipline myself so much when I'm at checkout counters to be like, just ignore everything. Don't be suckered into buying some piece of candy here at the end. But like there was a big old box of Tic Tacs and I was like, boy, I really want those Tic Tacs right now.
Did you get them?
No, I didn't.
Oh wow.
I stayed strong.
Now, all the other thing I can't think about, help but think about, is if they made, like, imagine, like, a standard masonry brick that would be, like, in your house.
Yeah, like these?
Like these, like, behind us. Yeah. Like, you can see some. Okay, now imagine it's made of Pez.
Yeah, amazing. Huge.
Amazing.
Right?
Like, yeah. Like, yeah, so good.
Yeah.
Like, would you eat it? Would you just, like, take, like a
claw? I feel like you'd have to have, like, a chisel with it, you know?
Yeah, just
like,
oh, it comes with a chisel.
Comes with a chisel.
And the handle is, like, the shape of a Pez. Yeah, Pezel. There's not nothing.
Mortar
to it. There's
pestle?
Not nothing.
Mortar
to
and pestle.
Mortar and pestle. Yeah.
Nothing. Not nothing there. But like, it's like there's got to be. I feel like if I could just learn how to quickly and efficiently and consistently load the Pez dispenser, like it would. It must exist. They must have thought of it because it. The worst thing is like your kid coming up and being like, "I want the Pez," and you got to sit there and go 1, 2, 3, and then like fall over and you're like, "Hold on, let me."
Well, that's the other thing too. You, like, yeah. You extend the Pez dispenser and like you can have it in like that locked out position, but then a lot of times as you're like manually loading, it'll like spring itself back together, and you're like, "Oh man, no, that's not what I wanted to happen."
Or like one will break and it's just it's like, but like on the flip side, like there, I would say probably like. One, maybe two times a year, it'll cross my mind to be like, you know what? Maybe I should get into Pez dispensers.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Because like, it feels like it'd be like such a fun little personality quirk to be like, oh yeah, Jonathan always has Pez. Like he's always got like some fun little Pez dispenser in his pocket and he's like, you want a Pez? What character did you go with today? You
know?
He's like always got one. It's just like, oh yeah, it's sort of fun. Like anytime you're hanging out today, he'll just sort of be like, oh, pop one in. It seems like it'd be like a fun little quirky thing about yourself. Like, yeah, I've always got Pez on me. But then I'm like, I'd also have to be carrying the candy around with me all the time. I'd have to constantly be loading these things, and that would take up like most of my day.
But can you imagine, like, you know how in Star Wars, like every single character, like Chewbacca has like his like thing. Oh, that was a good Chewbacca impression. He's got like that thing that like comes across his chest and like presumably like holds ammo or something. And then like I feel like Han Solo's got like a couple like little like they almost look like pen holsters or something, like on his getup. It's like you're just that, but you just have like a little Pez dispenser.
Right.
It's like, hey, can I grab one from, let's see, what do you got? Like Lemon and Mickey? I'll take I'll do that one. That sounds good.
Yeah.
You know, and then
exactly.
And then you'd be like,
here you go. Have a Pez.
They're so fun.
It'd be so fun. Except that it's not. It's like the promise is that like that could. That's what it feels like. It's like whenever I see Pez, it's like this is the dream. It's like giving you a dream. Like you could be that guy with the Pez. You could have a fun little collection of things, and you could have easy access candy whenever you want in your pocket. That'll be like cool and neat. But no, they're all. It's impossible because they're not easy to load and they run out too fast. It's like it should be so good. It's like it's right on the cusp of being amazing, and instead it's just disappointing, and that's why it's the snickerdoodle of candy.
Wow. Okay. I understand the I understand the argument.
Yeah.
But I can still, as an adult, be excited about a Pez.
Okay.
And I'm still just thinking about my brick-sized one, and I'm like, you know, they make those gummy bears where it's like a 1 pound gummy bear that you can buy, and it's like, you know, it's brick shaped, it's brick sized, it's like way too much gummy bear.
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna lie, I have like an endless fascination with them. I'm like, well, does it taste like regular gummy bear? Does it taste like a different consistency? Like, how do they keep it so big?
I know. Like, would it taste different? Would it just be like kind of weird to eat that big thing?
Yeah.
I don't know. I will say, I remember once upon a time. In high school, me and our buddy John, we decided we'd just go show up at our cross country coach's house, like at, you know, 8 at night or something.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. I'm sure he loved that.
I'm sure he did. He invited us in and stuff. You know, it was fine.
That's great.
It was crazy.
Did you guys play pool?
We did play pool.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice.
And in the. I can't believe you let us in.
Think about that now.
I know.
Think about that now.
I know.
Like somebody, like anybody showing up at your house, even if it's me at 8 o'clock at night, and just be like, what up? Can I hang?
What's up?
Like, no.
No, but yeah, he invited us in. Like, yeah, you want to play some pool or something? Such cool coaches and stuff. But in his basement, he was a big New England Patriots fan. I don't know. I'm having trouble remembering. It was either a football helmet shaped or like a NASCAR-shaped Pez dispenser, but that was still like New England Patriots, but as if the Patriots had a NASCAR.
As if, yeah.
Yeah,
why not? Yeah.
Yeah, but and it like had like a tiny little Pez dispenser thing on top, and you like pushed a button and it would give you a new one. But it must have been like, you know, it was clearly it held way more than your regular Pez dispenser. It must have held like, you know, upwards of like 50 or 100 or something. And it was like you could just like press it, grab it, and it was like, this is pretty great. I still think about it. I'm like, that was the best Pez dispenser ever.
McGuire,
yes. Where
did you get your Pez dispenser? I need it.
I need that.
Oh, man, that's so funny. That's so funny. Yeah, I mean, maybe we can, I bet it would not be hard to search.
It's probably not hard to find, like, Pez dispensers that distribute more than.
So do the jumbo Pez dispensers hold, like a Pez sleeve? Yeah, have you ever seen like the big ones?
I've seen the big ones. Yeah,
it's like what are they doing? Like,
I know. Do they hold bigger Pez or just more Pez?
Yeah, how does it work?
I don't know.
I'm gonna deep dive some Pez. Now I'm also curious if we can somehow create Pez dispensers.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Like a custom Pez,
right?
Not so bad.
And everyone be like, it'd be great, except they're so hard to load.
Ugh. Yeah. What's your favorite flavor?
Oh, probably red.
Red?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I like red, too.
Yeah, red.
Red's always good. But I also like yellow, and I wouldn't honestly pass on a purple either.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Do you have, like, this is the thing, like, my kids, like, grandparents love to get grandchildren Pez dispensers.
Yeah, naturally.
Yeah, of course. And what happens is I eventually throw them all away.
The Pez dispensers themselves?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because they just get, like, what happens is they'll eat the candy in like a week, and then the Pez dispenser will just like end up in like a toy basket where it gets obviously not played with because there's no more candy.
What are you supposed to do?
And it's just like clutter in the house.
That's a fair point.
Yeah.
That's
and it's point. Like no one's buying you loose Pez. Every time you get more Pez, it comes with a new dispenser.
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. Okay. So there needs to be like a good reason or good way to use your Pez dispenser, which is probably where people start putting them on display. Have you considered getting like a well-lit glass case?
Well, like I said, probably once a year I consider something of the sort, and then I fumble through the entire Pez experience.
Jay, hear it from me now.
Yeah.
Pursue this.
Yeah.
This.
I don't know. I don't need to be collecting anything else.
Anyway, guys, be sure to let us know your favorite color of Pez. But otherwise,
and if you have a go-to Pez dispenser,
yeah, that's a good question too. Mm-hmm. That's like one of those where it's like somebody could totally sell me on like a $100 Pez dispenser, and it's like made of metal or something.
Oh,
like really nice.
Like, oh yeah, like industrial Pez. Yeah, yeah.
It's like the last.
You can
one
like lock it into the safety position.
Ooh,
to load.
Not so bad.
Yeah,
not so bad. Maybe it even has like a little like scoring. Oh, that's what the Pez dispensers could have. It's like a scoring device that's like evenly spaced. So you can like scrape it down the sides, peel back the layer, and then just like drop all the
drop it right
into the thing.
Yeah. Ugh. If only.
Goals,
Pez.
Anyway, guys.
Up your game.
Thank you so much as ever. Until next time.
Bye.
Hello and welcome everyone to After the Final Pop, where as always we gotta thank you so much for your support over here on Patreon.
Thank you guys so much. We've been trying to plan out our vinyl record. Here we're gonna. I think we're gonna record it this week. Yes.
This much thank yous.
But
yes.
Ben, I have an important question for you.
What do you have for me?
Would you describe yourself? Would you say that you're You're a nog man.
A nog man.
A nog man.
We talking eggnog?
We talking egg.
I don't know. I don't know what kind of hell.
What kind of nog there is.
I know. Yeah. Like, and if anything, I'm like trying to think of something grosser than egg.
It's not the best name.
Ham nog.
Ham nog. It's made out of ham yolk.
It's got a smack of ham to it.
It's just hot ham water. Yeah.
Hot ham water. That's an Arrested Development reference that one person got.
More than one person got hot ham water.
Hot ham water. It's got a smack of ham to it. I mean, maybe so, because Hey Brother literally came from
Arrested Development.
Arrested Development. Yeah. Buster Bluth.
Yeah, Buster Bluth.
Hey Brother.
Smack of ham to it.
Yeah. Same character even. I don't know, Jay. I don't know.
Like, you don't know?
I don't know, because I mean, no matter what, I love the idea of it.
Yeah.
Like I'm when I think about like, do I want eggnog? The answer is yes.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
But then like, when I have it, I think it's always just immediately too rich.
Well, I mean, it's extremely rich via it being mostly cream. And eggs.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't know. So I think there's that piece of me. Like, I even remember like Christmas Vacation, where they've got like the nog tank or whatever.
Yeah.
They've got like the moose shaped,
yeah,
you know, glasses.
Which I think is a Vacation reference.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, because in the first one, they're like going to like, you know,
Bali World.
So wherever they're going, the mascot is the moose.
Is it really?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, did not know that.
Okay,
there you go. Never knew that was a reference.
Yeah, so that's a reference.
I was always just like, I just want those cups.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
They are great. And we, like, moose is like part of like Carlin family culture.
It absolutely is. And I love when Eddie comes up and hits a little propeller thing.
It just like knocks. Yeah.
He's just like, huh. Yeah.
Well, there we go.
I guess that happened.
Cousin Eddie. Yeah, all of Christmas. I just need to watch that again. I feel I'm due course.
You do. It's so good.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Not to say that. I mean, I probably watch it every year.
Yeah.
It is, it's such a fantastic.
It doesn't stop being funny.
No, it really doesn't. Yeah. And then I think every time I watch it, I like notice new things too.
Yeah.
Which I think is why it's like such a deep inspiration for the eventual 27 Butts.
Exactly.
The movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Butt Family.
The Butt Family.
They're the butt of jokes.
27 butts and only one toilet. What are we going to do?
Is it even funnier if in 27 Butts, nobody makes reference to the fact that their last name is Butt? Like it's like not part of the joke. Like you'd be certain. It's like subversion of expectations.
Oh.
It's like you would think like the fact their last name is Butt, but then like the whole family is the Butt Family.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I feel like once upon a time we had it such that like everyone was trying to be polite about the name and calling it like Butte, like it's spelled like B-U-T-T-E or something.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone's like, I have a delivery for like a James Butte, and everyone's like, it's Butt! Like they're all like, real, like they're like, no, we're correcting it to the
to the
worse version.
Now, this can't be right.
It's like, Butt.
The Butt? The Butte Family?
The Butes?
Or maybe it's spelled B-U-T-T and then everybody keeps saying Butte. And it's like
they're trying to avoid it.
Yeah. It's like, this is a Butte Family. It says Butt.
It's Butt. We're the Butts.
There's no E on the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you like to use our restroom? Because there's a line.
There's a line. Yes. Yeah.
27 butts and only one restroom.
Only one restroom. Goodness me. Sitting on top of that quarry. Hope nothing falls in.
Everything's
going to fall in.
Just cut to wide shot. And it takes
too long to fall.
Yes. Yeah.
It's like one of those where it keeps just cutting to another part of the hill and you see it crash through, and then another part of the hill and it's crashing through, but it does it like 20 times.
Yeah.
It's like, when is the bottom?
you just can't get enough things falling off of giant hills and quarries.
It makes me laugh just thinking about it. I feel like we should shoot it on like an 80s camera or something.
Oh,
totally.
Like film.
Like make it just.
We could like wear one of those like really like small hats and like round spectacles.
We should definitely do that.
Yeah. Probably wear like light wash jeans with like a.
I'm wearing now.
Probably like a vest. I feel like a good vest.
Mm-hmm.
You've already got the mustache.
I got the mustache.
We're covered in that department. I'll probably need to shave so that I can look more mustached.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. all the characters have mustaches?
No. Just okay. as directors of the film. It's like we need to be like in character.
Yeah.
Because like the real role that we're playing is director of film while we're directing a film that we are also in.
Got it. Yeah. People do that.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, it happens all the time.
I feel like there's a character. Whenever I think about it, I think because inevitably, in order to get to 27, like we obviously can't have like 27 plot lines happening, and like a large number of the 27 has to be probably like kids.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, because I mean, it's whenever you do like family math, it's always amazing. Like this happened, I remember, for like the wedding invitations, you're like shocked at how quickly you get to like 50 people inviting like the people you see at Christmas or something. And it's like, wait a second.
I always imagine that there's like the whoever our main character is, like his wife is like really annoyed at one of the brothers. It's just like that, like he's just sort of like a failure to launch kind of situation going on over there.
Okay.
But it's like sort of just like, and the, like, as far as she's concerned, just sort of like leeching off everything, not contributing, not like helping put away dishes or do whatever.
Okay.
But like anytime it's brought up, anytime she tries to complain about it to anyone, they all just sort of like, they are like very nonchalant, just like, well, Jim does kids or something, or like he's on kid duty. Like everyone's just sort of like, well, sure, but like Jim's on kids, so, and like they just sort of keep doing whatever they're doing, and then like eventually you get down there and Jim is like crushing it with the kids.
Oh,
it's like so good, you know.
I see.
Yeah, everyone's
see.
Just like, well, I'm yeah, but he's like,
but he's doing
like everything else is only possible, so like I wouldn't work, like what do you like? That's true, but like kids. So, but,
yeah. so the wife is the only person who doesn't understand Jim's
right. Yeah, like, doesn't understand like the why everything else is remaining as like, you know, eventually she can, you know, force him to go do something, and then chaos descends upon the house because kids.
So it's like the belief for a while is that this character is like the Cousin Eddie, like the sort of like, oh gosh, you are not contributing in big ways. But then Cousin Eddie normally goes and like kidnaps like Clark's boss.
Yeah.
And this would be more like the opposite of that. Like he's actually like very useful.
Yeah, actually very useful. I always imagine like, have you seen The League?
I've seen The League.
I imagine like Taco.
When you said this, I was like Taco from The League.
Exactly. It's exactly like Taco from The League. It's just like, yeah, he's just sort of like drifted around, just kind of like on the peripherals, not really doing anything.
Yeah.
Falling backwards into life. Excuse me.
Swear jar.
No.
Where is it?
Oh, man.
It happened.
On the Patreon.
On
Christmas.
Sorry,
guys. On Christmas.
In this economy, these are the back-to-back jokes that we can't not make in this office. Like, we have decided that they are a pairing.
We are now too close to Christmas to do the this close to Christmas joke.
It's true. It's really funny in, like, June.
It's really funny in June. Yeah, so they're like, what are you talking about? This close to Christmas? Yeah. Now it just is close to Christmas.
Yeah.
So true. that guy, but actually he's like really helpful.
Okay. Yeah. I like it.
In this unseen way.
So then the other big question too is like, do you think that there's a possibility that like the eldest like family member, I'm assuming like the you character,
the
golden child, sure, the one that pees excellence. That's you, right?
I guess so.
Yeah.
I peed for like a solid minute this morning. I was like, wow, impressive.
I wish I had a measuring cup.
I was like, is someone sort of timer? I mean, come on.
Wow. I do occasionally think that. I'm like, that was unusual, right? Like, so I mean, nobody saw it, but like,
I know, like,
goodness.
Like, I like to think someone could hear it, you know?
People right now are like, what happened
in the last 2 minutes of podcasting?
We're sorry. Well, yeah, so we'll even out. Okay, but so 27 butts, holiday production. So here's the idea though, is like, it's, do you think that the eldest golden child has like come to own like the family property, or do you have like a layer of like grandparents involved, or like because I feel like, you know, in order to have the Clark-centric character, you need somebody who's still like grappling family traditions, like kind of by the horns.
Right. Yeah. Right. Like, I think you're right. I think maybe the grandparents like still, maybe they still live there, but like they don't own the house anymore.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Like the eldest son now, but see, then the problem becomes, is there like a regular family that lives there and is just accustomed to the single bathroom life or whatever?
I don't know. Because, like, I mean, the idea would be that you don't have everybody there all the time.
Right.
It's like the 27 butts are only there because...
Because of Christmas. Yeah.
It's time.
Yeah.
For them to be there.
It's time.
Yeah. So then you have to have, like... Because I'm trying to think... Across out, like, if we have me, you, and our younger brother, Tyler, mm-hmm. we have... And then our parents. That's 15 people?
Yeah.
Right? Because we have their 7 grandkids... And then technically 4 pairings of adults,
right.
including our parents.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So 15 of us. So we have to backfill another 12 people from somewhere.
We do, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Probably have to have a couple of like wacky aunts and uncles.
Yeah, probably.
An Uncle Mike, because I think everybody has an Uncle Mike.
Yeah, definitely there's an Uncle Mike.
I'm fairly sure. But this is like one of those like laws of life. It's like, I feel like everybody I know, except for Ethan the editor, has an Uncle Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many people are like, when we were at like our mom's, on that side of the family, like how many people were at that Christmas? Right, you'd have...
There were 11 grandkids.
Was it 11? That was 10.
Hold on. It's easy to do the math because there are four.
It's 4, 3, 2, 1.
4, 3, 2, 1. So 4 plus 3 is 7.
Well, 3, 2, 1 is 6. So
okay.
Yeah. 6 plus 4 is 10.
Okay.
There
10.
You go. Yeah.
I don't know why I thought there were 11.
Right. Okay.
I guess I've had that wrong my whole life.
Wow. Look at you go.
10. 10.
10.
Plus then 10
adults. So 20 people were
20
there.
20 people.
So
we're
almost there. 7 more people than that.
We still need 7 more people
than
that.
We would need like our kids there too.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Then you'd be there.
Then you're there.
Then you're there.
Then you got all the generations.
Yep.
You'd probably have like the high achieving like cousin who shows up.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
I mean, you can cover basically every single family stereotype ever.
Ever.
Yeah.
They'll all be there.
They're all there.
And they're all going to have like their own like little like isms.
Right.
There's probably like a kid who's like playing video games the whole time with like headphones on and just keeps like missing like the really like eventful things in the background.
Exactly. Yeah. You got to have that. I feel like some of the magic though when you watch Christmas Vacation is like he has this giant house full of people, but like really Clark still gets most of the screen time.
He does.
You know,
it's
like
true.
the other family members are like present and they're like contributing to all of like the chaos and stress, but they're not like, they don't really have like arcs.
No. And I don't necessarily think that they all need to, but
yeah.
I love the idea of there being like running continuity in the background.
Absolutely. Yeah.
With many of them
mm-hmm.
where there's like little isms where it's kind of like you kind of keep seeing that they're all like wearing like t-shirts that reference like other things that we know about them that are like weird takes or whatever,
right.
You know, it's like, oh yeah, look at that.
Yes.
So that like every shot contains like multitudes.
Oh man. Yeah. It's gonna be a fun movie to make someday. Maybe.
I think so. Yeah. Maybe. Which is also, it's going to be great because then like, you know, like before and after movies, like there's like the production company, it's like a tree. It's like struck by lightning or like DreamWorks has like the little kid sitting on the end of like the
moon. Yeah.
Pixar has the lamp, you know, ours is going to be like 27 Butts Productions.
Like a flush.
A flush. And our logo is like a toilet.
Oh, goodness.
We make crappy movies.
Oh, we just lean right into it.
Lean right on into it.
Like really good, bad movies.
Really good, bad movies.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm not qualified to do anything else.
Yeah. That's it. That'll be our thing.
It's like, because if I try to create something extraordinary, it's like I can't. It'll be extraordinary for what it is.
For what it is.
But it's like, I could never make like everything everywhere all at once.
No. Yeah, I'm not. I haven't seen it, so I really couldn't. But.
Well, it's wacky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's wacky in a different way.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a best picture kind of way.
Got it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Versus ours would be wacky in a more like, I got to watch that like once a year at Christmas sort of way.
Exactly. Because every time I watch it, I catch something new.
Exactly.
And like your kids can watch it and like, they'll love it for all like the main screen shenanigans. And then as they get older, they're like, oh, I'm starting to see it through a different lens.
Yeah.
All
like,
of a sudden.
Oh yeah. Oh,
it's like, it is like that.
It do be like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's gotta be, you know, very relatable in the meantime. So yeah. And then, stuff just keeps falling into the quarry and, One toilet
one
that eventually toilet. Has to like explode at the end, right?
I'm pretty sure. Did we not have it be the case that like the toilet eventually like explodes, but that's also like what fills the quarry with water, and then it becomes like a summer
a lake.
Camp or something?
Oh, that's pretty funny too.
For 28 butts,
right? Yeah, there's one pipe that could fill the quarry.
2 butts, 7 furious.
Seven. You don't want a furious butt.
I was trying to do a Too Fast, Too Furious reference.
No,
there.
I got it. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Two butts, seven furious.
Yeah.
Seven furious butts.
27 butts, Tokyo Drift.
Yeah. 27 butts, three, Tokyo Drift.
And then the fifth one's just called 27.
Yeah, people are like, why didn't they just do like 28 butts?
Yeah, because.
That's too obvious.
There are naming conventions.
Come on,
thank you
guys,
very much.
Exactly. I would love it. You could just even like skip around, just be like, yeah, there's like more family members and stuff. You go to like 27 and the next one's just like, yeah, 32. Because like there were so many people, like a bunch of people had kids.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah.
But then like you kind of go back. But then it's like you go back down. It's like it's 27 and then 32 and then it's like 30. And it's like, oh no, people died.
Oh no.
I know. It's that, sad. That people will be like, why is it out of order? And you'd be like, well, there's actually a pretty good reason.
The grandparents died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it's like 27, 32, 30, back to 27. I don't know what to tell you.
I don't know what to tell
you. Some people got divorced this time. Yeah. Which 27 butts? The first one or the fourth one?
It's always 27 butts, but like slight modifications.
Yeah.
There cannot be more or less than 27 butts.
Right. Yeah. That's the hard line.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
I like this.
They keep having the same problem. Not again.
Are we ever gonna how
27
do you...
butts too, alone in New York City? We're just 27 people alone together
in New York City.
In New York City,
stranded by ourselves together.
Yeah, they just get like stuck in the top of like a hotel tower and like they can't leave because like there's a diehard situation happening like a floor below. So they're all just stuck in that one room.
Yeah,
and
there
there's
you
just one toilet.
Once again.
Once again. Like, it can't be.
My mind immediately was then sort of like, and then we could have one where they're like an airplane terminal or something like that. And I'm like, okay, at least there's more than one bathroom this time. And then like the guard comes over and like puts like,
yeah, they're like, but we could just go through. It's like, you can't go underneath caution tape.
It's caution tape.
I'm going in.
So we need to set up the caution tape bit then, like in the original 27 butts.
Yeah. Right.
Like,
yeah.
Like caution tape is something that the butt family like abides
yeah,
by.
Exactly. All the time.
It's like, oh, you can't go in there. It's like, why? It's like, because there's caution tape. It's like,
yeah. And then like, the same wife who doesn't like Jim is just sort of like, this is ridiculous. She's like the realist person.
Yes.
Like, I'm going under the caution tape. But they're like, oh, it's maybe like superstitious or something.
Yes. Yes.
Bad things keep happening to her.
It would be really funny if she like went through the caution tape and then like the floor immediately gave out and she just falls out of the frame. It's like
you cut to the outside of the airport and it's the same thing. She's like, she's just like falling for 20 frames.
And then anyway. She just like somehow survive and like come back to the door.
And then she just like walks to the door.
It would be funny to like not address it and she just shows back up at the door later.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. She's like,
We told you.
Yeah, she just shows up.
The butt family doesn't go under caution tape.
Under caution tape. They had to have a reason. Oh my gosh.
Okay. All right. We're building the lore.
There you go.
What we're missing so far is like the plot.
Well, it's good old fashioned family Christmas, you know.
It practically writes itself. It
practically writes itself. People have to be there because of Christmas.
Because of Christmas.
That's the reason. Yeah.
Is there okay? So one of the things that I love about Christmas Vacation is that when he goes into the office to wish his boss a Merry Christmas,
yeah,
he's holding a gift, and then there's a row of gifts that everybody else in the office has brought him, and
yeah,
they're all wrapped exactly the same,
the exact it's same
like,
shape.
It's like everybody bought this same thing for their boss. So I also feel like that could be like really funny. Would be like if everybody shows up and like they've all got like everything is like packaged the same way.
Yeah.
Like it's like everybody bought like a basketball for everybody else, but they're like wrapped like big hard candies.
That would be great. Yeah, that's fun.
So you have, well, okay, I was about to be like, how do you math that out? And I was like, okay, if 27 people all give each other basketballs, how many basketballs is that? 27.
Yeah, I was gonna say, unless each person bought one basketball for everyone else.
In which case, that's a lot of basketballs.
Yeah, yeah. And then it's like, what, 26 times 27?
Let me tell you what's definitely falling in the quarry.
Yeah. So many basketballs.
All the basketballs.
All the basketballs. Earlier in the movie, a basketball hoop will have fallen in the quarry.
Oh, yeah.
And you'll be like, oh my God, what's going to go in? None of them do.
They just all miss.
They just all. It's like, it's like you see it land earlier and you're like, why was that there? And then you see the basketballs and you're like, oh my gosh. And then it's like you're showing the camera and it's like they're not even close. It's not like they just barely miss. It's like it's over here. They're like way over here. It's like, oh, what? Man.
You set up for no reason.
For no reason.
This is the kind of subversion of expectations you love to see.
This is what you can come to expect from 27 Butts production.
It's pure silliness. Somewhere, the line somewhere between Monty Python and the Holy Grail and Christmas Vacation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. That's what we're dealing with.
Anyway,
oh, gosh. That is what happens to Monty Python, right? When he's like, when Lancelot's like running at the castle. And they like keep cutting to him, and they keep playing the same clip.
Yes, and he's like, he's not any closer.
He's not any closer, and then he's just there.
Yes.
They're that.
Like, they're like playing like the momentous music.
Yeah.
He's like, gonna have to watch Monty Python again, too.
Oh my gosh, we talk about it enough.
We sure do. Anyway, guys, we hope that you had a very merry holiday season, and thank you for your support on Patreon.
Yes.
Throughout the course of 2024. Vinyl record. Recording inbound.
Inbound.
It's going to be good times.
It will be.
It's going to be good times. Yep. All right, y'all. Until next time.
Bye.
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager. And the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.
Your old or broken phone can let you down. But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence with a new line on MyPlan. And iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. After all, you don't want your old phone to die on you when you're lost.
Perfect.
Or for your broken phone to glitch at the worst possible time.
Hey, can I get your number? Oh.
Trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad.